Joey Reese and Bigger Than Boo Job. Get yourself a pickle. Get yourself a boot. Joey Reese and Bigger Than Boo Job.
Pickle time is happening. Pickle time. I go down to get some pickles.
Bring your grandma and your kids.
I go downtown.
Bring your grandma and your kids.
Boot time. Pickle and boot time. Don't be fickle. Get your pickle side.
And we're talking right now, Joe and I were just talking off the air about this gun I built, which is a weapon of war. It is for real.
Did we talk about it the last time on Patreon?
I don't remember.
So do there the freebie people know that you've built this absolute buzzsaw of a gun?
Yeah. I don't think so. So to catch them up, I built an AR-15.
And if you want,
you and I were just talking about it. And the point that I made was I don't want to shoot it.
So time out here. So if you guys are listening now, so freebies, if you're listening now, this would probably be a good time to pay $5, get the Patreon, and then cancel if you want. But yeah, you need to be able to go back and listen. We had an entire episode about guns, about all this stuff. Reese built a gun. He built an AR. We had this big back and forth about it. You can go back and listen to it. We're not going to read you a hatchet here, but that's bringing you up to speed. So now, Reese, me and you were just talking, and I said it's so crazy because 3 minutes ago, you were talking out of both sides of your mouth saying you love this gun that you built, and now you can't wait for the government to come and take it so that you don't have it.
I don't love it. I don't at all like it. I don't want it. However,
you're nuts. You bought it. You built it. I think you don't know how to come to grips with the fact that you like it, and so that you have to spin it.
Like for the same reason that I like playing like war video games, and you're like, oh, cool, I tricked out my gun and it's the cool gun. Like, I tricked out a real gun and it's the real thing. Like, it's got a long scope and
yeah,
it's
that's got apples and tires,
holographic
dude.
Scope on top of it, and it's got a laser pointer thing so you can, I don't know, it's got all that stuff.
But you can't, but that doesn't hold your, what you just said doesn't hold weight. Like right. Lots of people play Call of Duty. Nobody goes and buys an assault rifle and soups it up.
Yeah. Yeah. So
especially liberal lunatics like you,
like myself, liberal lunatics who are actually working to take away all the guns.
Yeah.
Like, I have like,
you bought it and built it just to be the first guy in line to be like, here, take mine back.
Here you go, Obama.
It's a tax write-off.
Tax write-off. But like, no. So, yeah, we have talked about guns a few times on the paid portion and then like on the regular portion, just because I think you as a roofer, you have this. Okay. So you're one of my friends that are on the right, but like of the friends that I know that are on the right, like you're one of the few that are like, I don't want guns. Like I don't,
yeah.
But I mean, you, this poses a threat to you directly. The fact that I own this, or that somebody can order these parts off the internet, like I did, go down. I had to go down to sign for the, and join the, you know, the registry to get the lower receiver, which is a piece of metal. Like I'm pretty sure anybody could print this with a 3D printer. not to give people ideas, but like,
believe me, they're already out there, buddy.
They're right there.
You didn't just tell somebody something they didn't know.
We had that one listener who's just like,
like the light bulb just went boom. Like he was what? Okay,
printer. Those are the kind of listeners we have.
How many reams of paper will that take?
No, I mean, like, I think we both agree about guns. Like, there's too many guns, and it's too easy to get guns.
Yes.
It's too easy. Like, for me as a father, I'm terrified. Two of the guys in my band, like Scott's kid, they went on lockdown because somebody was shooting other kids in their school. Micah's sister was at Columbine. My kid got on lockdown because a kid went in there with a bow and arrow. It's just like it's part of our
culture.
Culture and like everybody's afraid of this. Like nobody wants it. But then like I don't get the response of, I don't know. Here's the thing. Like in the 70s, the NRA was, up until the 70s, the NRA was a shooting club. Like they taught gun safety. It was a lobbyist for gun safety. They existed in that arena. They wanted people to have like gun clubs where they learn how to be safe with these very dangerous things that could be weapons of war. And then in the 70s, I think the arms manufacturers, what is it called? The Cincinnati, it was in Cincinnati. There was a meeting and the arms manufacturers put a bunch of people in the crowd and they voted out all the old people. And then the NRA became kind of this lobbyist for arms manufacturers. And so it seems like since that point,
I'll fact check all this, but
Cincinnati,
the Cincinnati Treaty, the Cincinnati Treaty, Summit,
Cincinnati Summit. Red Sox,
Cincinnati's chili, Skyline chili.
It's called Skyline chili.
Skyline chili is what started the NRA.
Yeah. But like, it's not safe. Like it seems like the frenzy, there's this whole frenzy that like people are, the government is going to take away your guns or the liberals are going to take away your guns, man. Like I am friends with so many liberals and I've never heard a single one except for myself who has suggested to take away people's guns.
And yet for me,
I'm like,
and built
a
crazy high power dangerous weapon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because so number one, I don't think liberals are trying to take people's guns. I don't think that's part of their agenda. I just think they want it to be safe. And I think like really if the NRA was doing its job, they would be like, hey man, what are we doing to make this safe? Like, how are we keeping kids safe? Because this right now is the greatest threat to our industry. Except every time a kid dies or there's a school shooting, they sell billions of dollars of ammo and guns because they keep propagating this myth that
which you bought into and purchased
their guns. No, so the myth is that the guns are going to get taken away. I wish that would happen. So I'm on that far liberal spectrum where I think that gun ownership at least should be highly regulated. You should make sure people aren't crazy. They should have to take a psychiatric test every year. They should be able to show that they're proficient with it, that they're being safe with it. Everybody who owns a gun, and I'm not saying you can't own a gun, but I think if you do, you should be able to show that because otherwise you're putting other people in danger.
Like a driver's license.
I mean, like to me, the Constitution is about your liberties, but like to a point. You have every liberty until you start to deprive someone else of theirs. And that's what I think is happening. Like, my kids are scared at school. That's already happened. Their liberty is on the line. Like, they're not safe. I don't feel safe sending my kids to school because they're at any moment, just because they have to do drills for this. I mean, that's scary. This but is that, something we can
don't
control.
Don't you think that makes them safe?
Sure, I do. But I think, like,
it's the same thing as like a fire drill or a tornado drill.
Yeah.
Like, you drill for safety.
Right. But we can't control tornadoes. Fires are going to happen, but we try. But we should be safe. Like, this is a control. This is a solvable problem. We can solve this. Right?
I don't agree with you. I teach active shooter training. We can solve it in the sense that we can make our schools like prisons, where we can not have windows, and we can make it where, you know, movement throughout a building is restricted and things like that. But that's not a learning environment.
Or and make so that's it the really difficult to have a gun instead of what I just did, buy it and build it.
And I know I'm coming at you with the same old stuff that people always say, but is it the gun or is it the person? Because should we, so what happens if we get rid of all the guns? Okay, let's just say we can snap our fingers and we do exactly what everybody wants.
Yeah.
There's still going to be mental people that take knives, that take machetes, if somebody wants to hurt somebody, they're going to hurt somebody.
Yeah.
Right. So then, do we ban knives?
No.
One person is still one person. So right. do we treat mental illness? Because here in Michigan in the 90s, we had a governor, Governor Engler, who shut down all state-run mental facilities. And I know that's something that's happened across the country because they're so expensive to run. So all the state-run mental institutions were shut down in the late 90s. And so we have so many people that are mentally ill that, you know, there's nowhere for them. So these mentally ill people are in like Section 8 housing or they're homeless.
They just need help and nobody's giving it. And that's like, that's the message that the right has been preaching since Reagan, you know, like just defund this, less government, take it out. Like, I get it. Like, that, those mental institutions were not perfect. There was a lot of problems. But now look at it. We have nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing.
So, like, your argument about guns and like people are still going to use knives and machetes and stuff, you're right. You're right. So, the problem is mental health. But like, that toothpaste is out of the tube. There's crazy people. We don't have strong mental health. How long would it take to get it back? Like, to get it even back to that point where we had like movies like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, or, you know, pointing out like how awful institutionalized psychiatric care is. You know, like, I worked in institutionalized psychiatric healthcare and it's not good. But it's better than nothing.
Right, right.
You know, like, it was the last crack that these kids could fall through and barely anything holding it together, but it stopped it. There was something.
Yeah.
And so we don't have that. And a lot of places, they don't. Like, it's just put onto the communities, put on the community service board, social workers that work for the community. Cops are most of the mental health in this country are cops. You know, like, you're out there doing what should have been done in schools, what should have been done.
I know a couple of cops, and from what I hear from them, about 70% of their calls are mental health calls. It's not crime. It's not like, oh, I'm stopping a robber, or I'm stopping this, or even the little podunk cities where a lot of it's just traffic and speeding. It's mental health calls.
Yeah.
It's going all day long from mental health call to mental health call.
And how much of our prison system is mental health? It's just right. Like, people responding to trauma. And that's how it is in Michigan
because of those places that were shut down.
Yeah.
And so for me, like I look at it, you know, my personal feeling. My personal feeling is like I don't believe guns like what you purchased should be out there for everybody. Like if you want to buy a hunting rifle because you're going duck, goose, bear, pheasant, whatever, and you have your hunting rifle, fine. You have your hunting rifle, you have it. Pistols and things like that, like you have it for CPL, you know, for concealed, to be able to, you know, if something happens in public and, you know, you're protecting, you're a shepherd, you're a sheepdog, whatever you want to call it. Okay. You know, you got your shotguns for hunting and for also home protection. But like what you have, I don't think should be out there. I don't think,
I agree with you, man.
Yeah. So I don't think that stuff should be out there. And then my opinion is to then take it one step further is then all this money that we want to dump into going above and beyond all these weapons. Like for me, it's like the assault rifles and things like that, things that aren't hunting rifles. Anything beyond that, I think, is a waste of time to try and stop and to try and get out of the system. Put that money towards mental health. Open back up some of these places, you know, hire the people that need to be hired, whether it's in your community or at the county level, where people can go. Because in all honesty, from what I've seen, I'm guessing, like, I live in Oakland County, and Oakland County is a big, wealthy county in the United States. It's probably top 10 wealthiest counties in the United States.
Okay.
And I mean, I would probably say that in every county, there's probably 300 people that are to that point where you're like, these people are a menace to everybody in the county. And we're a huge populated county.
Right.
So the rest of the country, that they're not as populated, that they're more sparse, I'm guessing that drops to, there's probably 40. There's maybe 10 people that reach that menace level.
Yeah.
Like there's, understand, it's like that you can't, like they have to be institutionalized.
They'll never be safe.
Correct. They'll never be safe. Those are the people that I'm talking about. Other people need and can get help. Mm-hmm. Like people who are like, I don't like taking my medication because it makes me feel sick, and they just don't take it. So then because of that, they're doing all sorts of crazy stuff in the neighborhood. But once they get transported to the hospital and they get medication put in them again, they can see like, I did what? I said, what?
Yeah.
I stole a police car and led him on a 3-hour chase across two states. What? So I think there and here in Michigan, in our county, we've started this pilot program. It's called the Co-Responders. And so what they're doing here in Oakland County and here in the city of Royal Oak, where I live, is our city has partnered with surrounding cities. So I live like in a small city. Like I don't live in like a Detroit or a Chicago or a Boston. I live in a suburb. And so our suburb has partnered with three other suburbs. And these four cities have all thrown money in, and we've hired two therapists or clinicians or psychologists, whatever you want to call them. And we've hired two of them, and they're called co-responders.
Yeah.
And so our local police department, when we get called, or when they get called to a mental health call, the co-responder comes with the police officer.
And they're like social workers that go.
Correct. So the law enforcement stands by if things are violent, if things are unsafe. Once the situation is deemed safe, that therapist, that co-responder, they take over the call.
Yeah,
and they can look at law enforcement and say, I got this. You guys can leave.
Yeah.
Then the police department, which I live, has what they call a QRT. It's a response team. And what happens is a few days later, officers from the police department come in on days that they're not scheduled to work, and they can sign up for overtime for this. And what they do is they go back to those houses where they've dealt with those people, yeah, and they do follow up. And that's they'll cool, say, Joe. You know, they'll say, hey, you know, therapist was here, and the therapist may be there to help out. But these officers that are part of this QRT team, they'll show up and say, you know, a few days have passed since you had the, you know, the, a bad day. How are you feeling? Do you need anything? You know, do we need to take you back up to a hospital? Do we need to take you back up to a mental health service place? You know, yeah, what can we do to help you? And so hopefully this quote unquote pilot program, I don't know why I said quote unquote, it's a pilot program. Hopefully this will start to catch on nationwide.
It's a good idea.
So here in Michigan and in Oakland County, that's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to do to change things and to help things. So that's my two cents.
So I think that's amazing. And I don't think like you can have a talk about guns in this country without talking about what you're saying. The underlying problem isn't guns. It's people aren't getting mental health treatment. But like my feeling is we're not addressing that. Like we're not addressing that because billionaires are making money at feeding this. They're going to take your guns. They're coming to take your guns. They're going to take your guns. The government wants to take your guns. They're going to, if they make you register, that's why, because they want to know where to come to get the guns and all this stuff. And like, that doesn't help anyone but them. It sells more ammunition. It sells more weapons. Like we, the people, I think people buy guns because they're afraid of losing that right. They're afraid of losing that liberty. And the more that gets turned up, the more they spend. Nobody needs, like, I think, like, statistically, most people that are gun owners own more than three guns. I don't see a scenario where you need more than three guns unless the Chinese attack us, which is, like, part of the craziness, like part of what's being sold to sell us guns. Like we need this in case the government turns on us. We need this in case the US gets attacked. You know, both those things happen. The army's not going to come get you, or the army's coming to get you. But like those scenarios are ridiculous. No one is going to go for a ground war in the United States against the most well-equipped military in human history. Nobody is going to go for a ground war in the United States against a population that outguns that army by 10.
Right.
Like it's not going to happen. We have enough guns. I think that's not the problem. We just need to be like, this is not safe. The way that we handle guns and the way that we glorify guns is not safe. It's not safe for our kids. How do we fix that? The NRA, if they really cared about gun owners, that would be their slant. I think they would be like, hey, man, we don't want, there's going to be some tipping point, like where somebody kills like 1,000 kids and people are going to be like, I can't have it anymore. I cannot. And then it is going to come to that. The government is going to come take your guns. There's going to hit that tipping point where nobody can take it anymore. And it's going to be like, come turn in your guns. It's too much. If the NRA really cared about its members, I feel like they would say, how do we make this not happen? How do we make this safe? Like, how do we keep guns away from the crazy people? How do we get the crazy people treated? How do we get the people, just normal people, to realize that, like, I need to keep my guns safe. I need to keep it away from my kid. If I'm having suicidal ideations, here's where to call. Here's what I should be doing. They're not doing that. So to me, as a far left person and the only one in my neighborhood, I'm in this. Toothpaste is out of the tube. Like, I'm in this crazy world where all these people around me are arming up.
And so I armed up.
Yeah, man. Exactly. I don't want this. I don't want to be in this world. I do not want. Oh, I got a story about this for you. Joe just showed me he's drinking the IPA from New Belgium, Voodoo Ranger. I met the Voodoo Ranger at our show. Yes.
Did you really?
Yes. He's a cool dude. So what I'm saying, though, friends, is I don't want this world. Like, I want us to fix this. I have this gun because that's the only reason I wanted a gun. Like, if all shit falls down, I don't want to shoot anybody. I don't want to threaten people. But, like, I have two girls. Like, I get it. Like, I get my role in whatever apocalypse we have. I'm going to go out for Jesus. I'm going to go out loving everybody.
You're going to write Jesus on every bullet.
Yeah. I'm not ready to put my kids Jesus up on loves that. You
as you're just ripping rounds. Just sending lead over fences.
Yeah. I'm not there yet with my girls. And so I'm like, then I got to protect them. So I bought this crazy ass gun and it's going in a safe with a lock on it. And then, I mean, I'll get it sighted in or whatever the crap that is, but I'm just going to lock it up and I hope I never, ever have to get it out. And yeah. I hope the government comes and takes it from me. I hope they take away all the guns from crazy people like myself.
When I roof, that's my thing is every morning I pray that I do not have to use my nail gun that day. Mm-hmm. Never have to. I've had to pull it out. I've had to pull my nail gun out many, 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 many times. Never had to squeeze the trigger. And I pray every single day that I don't have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
But if somebody shows up at their front door with that freaking demon technology that you have behind you. Uh-huh. That's nuts. That's nutty.
It's super nuts.
Yeah. That's like more high tech. Like I have an AR. Mm-hmm. I have an AR with an EOTech hologram scope on it. And yours is way beyond that.
My scope's not as nice as yours, but it does more.
What's your scope? What's the
What is the brand?
No, what's Chinese the magnification?
Oh, it's like three times.
Okay.
It's not that crazy. I think it looks cooler than it is. It doesn't magnify very much. And then it's got the holographic one, but like it was $81 on Amazon. And it has a laser pointer. So stupid.
Yeah.
It takes NATO rounds. I think 45 rounds.
I think it's funny magazines. That you have a scope, a hologram scope, and a laser scope.
Right.
Like it's kind of overkill. Overkill.
And it's all overkill. The whole thing. I don't want it. So.
I don't want it.
As I don't.
You're so full of crap.
I don't. I mean, it's cool. It's cool. Like, holy cow. That's the thing I play with in Call of Duty or Ghost Recon Wildlands. That's the gun I have. I don't want it in real life. I don't want this to be real. So it's going in a safe.
And then are you going to buy a pistol?
I have a pistol. I got my dad's.
Oh yeah, that's right. What kind of gun?
Also going in a safe. It's a Ruger 22 six shooter.
Okay.
It's going in the thing too. It's going in the safe.
Are you getting
the muzzle loader? I'm not going to use that either.
See, now you said, you know, most people have three guns. So you have your one there, you have your six shooter, and then you got to have your home protection. So now what gun are you going to get for home protection?
I'm not getting any. If I really have to protect myself, I have to go to the keypad and like, dee, 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 and that thing has the laser on it.
No, but you can't use that for home protection. Are you nuts? You'll be sending around. You can't use an AR for home protection. That's for
with my 556 NATO rounds. It'll go through the whole house.
It'll go through the house into the neighbor's house. You know,
I'm not going to shoot it in any scenario. I'm not shooting anyone. I'm pointing this at you.
Right. I know. And I don't mean to put you on the spot while we're on the air, but you got to think this through, dude. An assault rifle is for assaulting. It's for being on the offense.
Yeah.
If someone's coming into your house, which is what you're scared of, that all I'm these not. People in this Republican state that you live in, you got to have a shoddy. You got to have a shotgun.
They're like coming in my house like, I'm going to get your 86-inch TV. I want your divorce TV. I don't think that's what's happening. I think it's a complete breakdown of society. And then I have a bunch of neighbors who are trigger happy, and I just need them to know.
I'm telling you, if that happened, I'm just telling you now, I don't want you dying in a ditch thinking these last words. But what you need is you need a sling, and you need your AR slung around your chest, but then you have the shoddy.
Yeah, I got a shoddy too. Yeah. I don't want this, any of it. I don't want a shoddy. I don't want to shoot people.
Yeah,
I don't
but just like you people. Said with the toothpaste, it's already out of the tube. Down.
Well, that's a lot of toothpaste. That's like somebody squeezed all the toothpaste out and gone back to the store. They went to Costco and they're like, how much is Crest?
What's the Costco brand?
Then they got the Costco brand and they squeezed it all out. All the crate. That's what you're talking about.
That's what you did with that. Like what you did is if I was like, you know what? I'm thinking about starting to golf, and I go out and I buy a $6,000 set of golf clubs and then get a country club membership to some $40,000 a year golf course. And then I don't use any of it. That's what you did with that AR.
I know, because it would be like if somebody was like, hey, man, there's going to get to be a point where you're going to have to golf for your life or the lives of your daughters.
Yeah, so that's like, where you want the shotgun.
Get golf.
That's where you get the shotgun and you're like, you know what? I can be in my house, which is my castle. I know my house. And if I have to retreat to my house, I got my shotgun and people are donezo.
My castle smells like farts, guys.
Yeah, just pack it full of farts. Just pack it.
I don't want guns. I don't like them.
With all this that we're talking about, have you seen the movie Free State of Jones with Matthew McConaughey?
No. I want to, though.
Do you have Apple TV?
Yes.
It's on Apple TV.
Hey, speaking of which, Apple TV, have you seen Masters of the Air? That's the whole reason I got it.
Yes, I don't. I haven't been. Here's the thing, man.
No.
They build it like Band of Brothers. Mm. Band of Brothers was a 15 out of 10. The Pacific was a 10 out of 10. Masters of the Air is like a 5.
Well, I would say story-wise, I am on board with you. Like the story is not as followable because everyone dies or they end up in a POW camp. Like, I don't think you could have made that story again. But I think visually it's incredible. It's so good.
Yeah, I mean, visually it was good. But unfortunately, like over the years, like all the Air Force-y type movies that have come out, whether it be Memphis Belle, like Memphis Belle, if you go back to the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
There's a movie called Memphis Belle about a B-17 bomber. And pretty much everything that was in Air Masters, because I believe Masters of the Air that's the book called, I believe, Air Masters.
It's called Masters of the Air.
Is the book.
The book. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Memphis Belle took a lot from Masters of the Air.
Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of the stuff that, like, if you were seeing it for the first time in Masters of the Air, you're like, oh my gosh, that happened. That's crazy.
I didn't see Memphis Belle.
Yeah. But if you're old like me, oh, dude, you got to see Memphis Belle. Memphis Belle is fantastic.
I also had two great uncles that were navigators on bombers in World War II. So one
that's phenomenal.
One died in Japan.
That's not phenomenal.
was killed in a tortured to death in a POW camp.
Yikes.
The other one lived till his old age, Uncle Frank, who my daughter has her middle name after, Lyndon Francis Winter Roper.
Oh.
Yeah. So
tonight,
this guy, I just remember talking to him and being like, Uncle Frank, that's crazy. What'd you do? And he'd be like, well, I figured out where the planes went. But then you watch this and you're like, holy fuck, Uncle Frank. Like, holy fuck, dude.
Here's the thing. Everything that I just said about Masters of the Air gets set aside because you have that personal connection.
Well,
so when you're watching it through the lens of your Uncle Frank,
that
changes things. You know what I mean?
Well, to me, I was just like, my thoughts were, you're looking at maps and you're trying to figure out where the plane goes. And then what? You tell the bombardier and they drop it. There's some flak. And then maybe what happens? Some planes come and you shoot them down. But it's like, dude, these guys are in flying coffins, like paper mache coffins.
Yeah.
Just getting chewed the fuck up.
What's crazy is the early bombers in World War II, the ball turret, they would put those guys in there before takeoff and they would stay in there the whole time. And it wasn't until about a third of the way through the war that they were like, you know what? We should be able to open that up in the plane and he should be able to get out of it. And so
he's got frostbite.
Yeah. They were like tunnel rats. These guys would get in the ball turret. They would be in there for the entire 13-hour flight.
Dude.
And if the plane, listen to this, if the plane was coming back and had like a damaged landing gear and had to make a belly land, like they knew, like that dude knew 8 hours prior, hey, we're going to have to belly land.
You're going to be a greasy spot.
You're done.
You can't bail from there. There's nothing.
You're done because those early planes, like the fuselage was below it and then was below the cabin. And then he was below that.
Yeah.
And so they would be like, you know, hey, Dave, you have 8 hours, man, to chit chat with us and you're donezo because we have to belly land this thing. It was crazy. I remember when I was a kid, I loved World War II, loved World War II planes. B-17 is my favorite, B-24 Liberator. And when I was a kid, I was up north where, you know, you came up. My grandpa lived up there. And in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, there's a little runway. And a B-17 and a B-24 Liberator, two of my favorite planes ever, were flying from somewhere to an air show in Ohio, and there was a bad storm. So they landed in Mount Pleasant, Michigan to stay the night.
No way.
To make extra money, they were like, hey, these planes landed. You could come in. They charge $5 and you could walk through the planes and stuff like that.
Bro.
And they had like the replica, like guns, like the 50 cals in the waist and in the tail and all that stuff. It was awesome. So like my grandpa, my dad and I, we got to walk all through the plane. Oh, it was amazing. Amazing memory as a kid. It was fantastic. Yeah. It was fantastic.
So Memphis Belle ruined it for you, but I never saw Memphis Belle.
No, Memphis Belle didn't ruin it for me.
Was amazing. Well, because you were just
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Memphis Belle, love. It's a fantastic movie.
I never saw it. Okay. So, but when I saw Masters of the Air, I was just like, my coloring of what was happening was cool. Oh, cool. Did you dodge the flak, Uncle Frank? Like, but instead, it's like they're just trapped, just getting hammered to death in the daylight. I love that show. So yeah. Free State of Jones. Also, Apple TV.
Watch Free State of Jones. I'll finish watching Masters of the Air. I watched like the first three episodes and I stopped.
Okay.
I stopped because I stopped. Because they put them out weekly.
Okay.
It was like I watched the third episode and then I was just like, I just never went back. I'll finish watching that. In fact, I'll restart it watch it through. Watch Free State of Jones. Freaking amazing. I'm burping.
Okay.
Freaking amazing.
I thought you were going to heave.
No, I watched it last night. I saw that it was on. I started watching it with Mia. Mia was homesick with like a 24-hour flu.
It's called COVID.
Yep. I started watching it with her. And I was like, this is a bit too intense. So I shut it off and then she had fallen asleep. So then I went to bed. I started watching it. I fell asleep. I woke up at like 3 a.m. I turned it back on, fast forwarded to the last part that I remember. Dude, I love it. It's great.
Yeah. Okay.
And you'll love it. Being a liberal trash.
Liberal trash that I am. I'll love it.
You'll love it.
I'm going to get woke.
Oh, you will. You will.
So freaking woke.
You will. Yeah. All right, man. This was a freebie. This was a good 40 minutes. Hey, I want to tell you one last thing before I go.
Jeez, you just throwing it out for these just people. Just
one quick thing.
Okay.
She's not my girlfriend anymore. She's my fiance now. This weekend, we will be recording a podcast for some extra content. People will hear about all of it, but this is different. But Heidi and I, Heidi's goal, and I think our listeners are going to get behind her on this. Heidi's goal in 2024 is to eat 60 corns on the cob. Her goal in 2024 is to eat 60 ears of corn. That's probably a better way of putting it than corns on the cob.
Joe, this is a marriage material. Number one.
Yeah.
What a goal. Yeah. Number two, it's attainable. Like she's got a good head on her shoulders. Like she's not just like, yo, I'm going to do an Ollie back flip over the Niagara Falls, which is
unattainable.
Unattainable. But this is attainable.
She's going for 60 ears of corn. So what she did,
how far along is she, by the way?
I'm about to tell you.
She
started a corn-culator. So she started a calculator for ears of corn.
Cornculator.
And so this is all patented by her. She thought of this on her own. And what she does is every time she eats an ear of corn, she puts it into her cornculator. And
what is the cornculator?
The cornculator. She puts the date, the time, and how many ears of corn, and it keeps a running tally. And she's
Is it like an Excel spreadsheet?
Yeah. And she's going for 60 ears of corn in 2024. So I would love for our listeners to get behind Heidi Emery, soon to be Heidi Yerke.
Uh-huh.
And her quest for 60 ears of corn.
Joe, I'm gonna admit something to you. When you became engaged, I had reservations. I was like,
yeah.
Joe, this is number three. I don't know. I feel like you're rushing into this. It's a little fast. I don't want to have this talk with you, but I feel like I'm gonna have to. And you just set my mind completely at ease. Like there's that saying that fools rush in, but like, yeah. What fool would let that woman go, dude?
Exactly. The cornculator.
You struck gold.
Cornculator 9000 is what I like to call it. The cornculator 9000. And so as of Monday, April 15th, 2024, she has had 2 ears of corn. She's had two.
It's not even corn season, though.
It's not corn season.
Seriously, Joe, if she breaks up with you, Heidi, if you break up with Joe, I'm available.
So everybody, I will keep you up to date on the cornculator tabulation.
Okay.
And she's going to go for 60 years this year.
Oh my gosh. Seriously.
I think it's attainable.
I think it is too, but like, wow. Wow. Like
in a given summer, say summer is roughly 9 weeks. Let's say there's roughly nine weeks of summer. That's that's kids off of school.
Yeah.
9 weeks, 60 years. What's 60 divided by nine? Seven?
I don't know.
Seven something? It's so she's got to do seven.
Right. 63. She does seven, she'll hit 63. Okay. 7 years a week. That's one a day.
That's one a day. That's so attainable.
Attainable.
And she's already a cigarette. She's already had two. And what it's April 15th.
Dental floss. You invested in that yet? You getting the placards?
Well, here's the thing. She's the manager of the largest privately owned dental office in the state of Michigan.
Oh my gosh.
Dental floss. She's got dental floss. She's got water picks.
She like uses dental floss to prop up her computer monitor at work. She's like, what am I going to do with all this extra dental floss?
It ain't an issue. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Joe. Wow.
That's how it goes.
Okay.
That's my gal. Keep us abreast. That's my gal that I'm so proud of.
I really.
And you know what? If other people want to do a corniculator, let's keep it going, people. Let's support the United States. Let's support your local farmers and let us know how many ears of corn you're eating in 2024.
I'm going to resent my girlfriend now. I'm going to like, this is what's going to happen. I mean, Carrie's going to just start talking to me and be like, gosh. And invent a cornculator? What are you even talking about? Work? What are you doing? You're working with children? I don't want to hear it. Have you heard of a pomegranate culator? No.
A cantaloupe culator.
Come on, Kara. Can you just do something useful? That's what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
Gosh, dang it. Now that's in my head. Here goes my relationship.
That's what I wanted to leave you with, man.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, everybody. There's 46 minutes of nothing but gold.
Okay.
We'll see ya.
Bye, guys. Peace of peace.
Let's sing this. You spin me right round, Jesus, right round, like a record, Jesus, right round, round, round. You spin me right round, Jesus, right round, like a record, Jesus, right round, sing it out. Right round. You spin me right round, Jesus, right round, like a record, Jesus, little bit louder. You spin me right round.